Home builders' confidence is way down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. And yet another sign the economic recovery is slowing down. We got word today from the National Association of Home Builders that its housing market index fell in July to its lowest level since March of 2009. Builders report a sharp drop in the number of buyers looking for new homes now that tax credits have expired. Last winter, the blogosphere got a hold of some leaked emails between climate scientists, and accusations of fudged data started flying. A slew of investigations since then have cleared the scientists of any wrongdoing. But still, it got those who study climate change thinking. Maybe they need a little work on their brand. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark has that story.
Maybe you've seen the ads. A round-cheeked little boy in a baseball uniform peers through a magnifying glass at a cluster of daisies. It's supposed to be a younger version of biologist David Inouye.
People will look twice at that little boy in a little league uniform, whereas they might not look twice at a picture of the real me, a 60-year-old scientist.
Inouye says the idea is to put a human face, an adorable one, on climate scientists like him. The ads point you to a website where you can read more about their work. Kevin Knobloch runs the Union of Concerned Scientists, the group behind the campaign. He says many of his members have been under attack lately.
Some climate scientists have received death threats, a drumbeat of really disturbing kinds of emails from people who are often anonymous.
Knobloch wants that to change once people understand who these scientists are and what motivates them. While science needs to stick to the cold facts, he hopes to shift public opinion with a warm feeling. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Stocks are down right now. The Dow is off about 11 points, 10,086. The NASDAQ off about 0.2%. Same for the S&P. European shares lower now after some early gains. And Asian shares closed mostly lower today as well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender. Monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
One man has bought up a large part of the world's supply of cocoa. Usually hedge funds buy and sell small bits of commodities such as coffee or cocoa, but British investor Anthony Ward has just taken delivery of $1 billion worth of cocoa beans. It's the largest single purchase in 14 years and has pushed the price of cocoa up to a 33-year high. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports for Marketplace.
Imagine five ships the size of the Titanic filled with cocoa beans. That's what 240,000 tons looks like, and it's equivalent to Europe's entire supply of chocolate's most vital ingredient. Chris Skinner is a markets commentator and says Anthony Ward has done this before. 8 years ago, he bought 200,000 tons and made $60 million.
I guess it's a bit like the film Trading Places with Eddie Murphy, that, you know, the pork bellies. If you control that supply, you hold on to it and you squeeze the market, you see the price going up, and at some point release those supplies and then you make a mint.
Cocoa prices have more than doubled over the past 2.5 years. Production in Africa has fallen and demand from India and China has gone up. And Ward is betting on them rising further, especially in the run-up to Christmas. But critics aren't impressed.
We see this speculation all the time in food markets, in coffee, in wheat. And this has real impacts on people across the world.
Tim Jones is from the World Development Movement. He says ordinary people in developing countries are pushed into poverty as food prices rise. The new financial reform bill in the US is designed to control the influence speculators can have on the market, and Jones wants the European Union to make similar reforms.
So the market can still function, but the limit prevents the hot money coming in and out and so helps to stabilise the prices.
Chocolate lovers might not thank Ward for helping push up the price of their chocolate bars, but warehouse owners will certainly be licking their lips. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
We thought we'd test our sweet knowledge of international affairs once again, as we do every so often, and we're glad to bring in Stefan Richter with this morning's Marketplace Globalist Quiz. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am so ready. Let's do it.
Which group of African countries grew the most in terms of its economy last year? Is it A, the oil exporters, countries such as Nigeria? B, the fragile states, think Congo, for example? Mm-hmm. C, middle-income countries, like the World Cup host South Africa? Or D, low-income countries, Zambia, Uganda, and countries like that?
I'm going to have to say the oil exporters.
That would be the likely answer. But, you know, they only grew by 3.8%. While that's impressive in a global context, because the rest of the world certainly didn't grow anywhere near as fast, it wasn't the fastest in Africa last year.
So, all right, I'm obviously not even getting the parting gift on this game show, Stefan. So I'm going to guess the least among them, including the impoverished nations that you mentioned.
And you've got it. It is really fascinating that Mozambique, Zambia, and so on grew by almost 5% last year, and it wasn't a fluke. That is due to things like, you know, a little bit of governance, reduction of wasteful spending, improvements in education and health systems, and trade policy reform. So it shows that sub-Saharan Africa's economies can actually be more resilient in terms of economic growth than the developed countries.
Well, we'll see if that trickles down to the people there of some of those impoverished nations of Africa.
That's the key question.
That it truly is. Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of The Globalist. To learn more about the global economy, politics, and culture, visit theglobalist.com. And finally, if you ever walk into a Las Vegas resort, take a whiff. Chances are you'll smell coconuts or lemon ginger. Casinos buy and spritz those scents to keep people inside, spending money and gambling. The Palms Hotel resisted the trend for a while, but gave in a few months ago, and they chose teak wood. A lot of people complained and blogged how bad it was, so the Palms quickly put an end to teak wood, making the property odor-free once again, except for the tobacco gin and cheap cologne wafting over to you at the slots. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.